I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's September 22nd, and we have a lot to talk about. And I want to start by giving a shout out to everyone listening to the podcast on Amazon Music. Out of the more than 1 million different titles available, Amazon added 77,000 podcasts to its music platform last week. Now, there's going to be hundreds of thousands more to follow, but I was very happy to see Real Talk MS among the podcasts that Amazon initially launched with. So now, in addition to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and really every other major podcast platform, you'll be able to listen to Real Talk MS on Amazon Music through the mobile app, the desktop app, and I'll also remind you that Real Talk MS has been available on any Amazon Echo or Echo Dot since almost the beginning. But however you choose to connect to the podcast, I'm glad you're here. And I also want to thank all of you who've shared your feedback on the special MS Virtual 2020 episode that we released toward the end of last week. The special episodes from MS research conferences are always fun and always challenging to put together, and I'm glad that you continue to find them worthwhile. Usually, these conferences last a few days, and then they end. But this year, like almost everything else taking place this year, things are a little different. So MS Virtual 2020, which is the virtual version of the combined ACTRIMS-ECTRIMS conference, is actually reconvening this coming Saturday for two special sessions. One will be devoted to late-breaking news, and one will be devoted to the latest research findings on the impact of COVID-19 on MS. So there's more news to share from the MS Virtual 2020 conference, and we'll be sharing that news and some additional interviews over the next couple of Real Talk MS episodes. And while we're talking about the impact of COVID-19, it's natural to assume that the pandemic has raised the anxiety levels of, well, everyone. And it's easy to understand that people living with pre-existing chronic illness have experienced anxiety and depression during the pandemic. After all, they're a much more vulnerable segment of the world's population. And of all the people living with MS, you might further assume that people living with progressive MS would experience the highest levels of anxiety and depression related to the threat of COVID-19. Well, a research team found themselves at the right place at the right time, conducting a different study with the right people. And they decided to investigate that question. What has been the emotional impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on people living with progressive MS? My guest today is Dr. Anthony Feinstein. Dr. Feinstein is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto and a neuropsychiatrist. He's also the principal investigator of the COGEX study, and he's here to share the results of his team's, what we could call their interim study. But before we get to my conversation with Dr. Anthony Feinstein, there are a few other things that you should know about. Many of you longtime listeners already know that one of the reasons that I started Real Talk MS was to create a platform to promote advocacy in support of issues that are important to people affected by MS. Whether it's access to affordable medications, access to quality healthcare, congressional funding for MS research, or protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions, these are all issues that we continue to talk about frequently on the podcast. As I've said in the past, I think advocating on behalf of your own self-interest in support of the issues that affect you and your family, well, it's incredibly empowering. And I don't think there's a more empowering form of advocacy than voting. So I'm urging each of you to make an appointment with yourselves to vote in this year's election on or, where it's possible, before Election Day on November 3rd. This year, more people than ever before will choose to vote by mail-in ballot. So whether you're planning to go to the polls or vote from the comfort of your own home, I hope you'll take a moment to verify that you're registered to vote, and if you aren't, that you take an additional moment to register. And the good news is that you can do both of these things online. Just visit vote.gov, which is a nonpartisan voter registration portal operated by the federal government, and you can check out what steps you need to take to verify your voter registration or to register to vote. And these steps and their deadlines will vary depending on the state you live in, which is why we're talking about this today. So you'll have plenty of time to get this done and make your vote count in the November election. As we're in the midst of the worst global health crisis of our lifetime, a crisis that's already taken the lives of over 200,000 Americans, I'm confident that healthcare issues will be top of mind for lots of voters throughout the United States. And as someone affected by MS, well, I would hope that healthcare issues are always top of mind for you. I'm pretty sure that between now and November 3rd, you'll hear my take on which candidate or candidates are going to best support the issues that are important to people affected by MS. But honestly, wherever you happen to fall on the issues of the upcoming election, please make your plans now so that your vote will count. And to make that even easier, I'll include a link to vote.gov in today's show notes. And while we're talking about the goings-on in and around Washington, D.C., I want to extend an invitation to each of you to attend this year's National MS Society Ambassadors Ball on September 30th. This year, the Ambassadors Ball is virtual, so you can leave your tuxedo or gown in the closet and attend in your favorite sweats or yoga pants. Last year, I had the honor of speaking at the Ambassadors Ball, and it was truly an unforgettable evening. What impressed me most was how hard the planning committee worked to put together a great program and to make sure that everything ran like clockwork. This year, during the virtual event, Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman and his wife Heather will be honored with the Champion Award. Ryan Zimmerman's mother, Cheryl, was diagnosed with MS in 1995, and since its founding in 2006, the Zimmermans have raised more than $3.5 million for MS research through the ZIMS Foundation. Ryan and Cheryl will be live at the Ambassador's Ball for a conversation with Dave Johnson. Now, Dave is a WTOP radio sports director, and he's the voice of the Washington Wizards and DC United. Dave himself was diagnosed with primary progressive MS last year. The event will also feature an international auction, including items donated by the ambassadors of France, Greece, Italy, and several other countries. And you can even bid on a chance to join Dave Johnson in the broadcast booth at a future Wizards game. The Ambassador's Ball is one of the hottest tickets of the Washington, D.C. social season. And this year, you can be a part of this free virtual event on September 30th, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, by visiting ambassadorsballms.org and registering today. And you'll find that link in today's show notes. We often talk about the invisible symptoms of MS, and some newly published research suggests something that everyone affected by MS, well, they already know, that one of those symptoms may be economic. A research team at Emory School of Medicine in Atlanta conducted a small study of 243 adult MS patients visiting neurology clinics and found that 56% reported declines in income after being diagnosed with MS, and 37% indicated that their income had declined more than 20%. And here's how that unfortunate economic reality actually impacts your health. 35% of the patients in the study reported not sticking to their disease-modifying therapy, and 13% said they didn't get their recommended MRI exams because the copays made them unaffordable. I know I spend a lot of time reminding you that disease-modifying therapies not only help to manage MS today, But perhaps more importantly, these medications have also been shown to delay progression, which translates to maintaining a better quality of life for a longer time. And it's heartbreaking to know that the financial toxicity of multiple sclerosis can keep a third of all MS patients from staying on these important medications. Now, I know a few minutes ago I said we wouldn't get into the politics of the healthcare issues that affect people living with MS, but this study is a stark reminder that when we talk about the importance of having access to prescription medications, then we also have to address the economic symptoms of MS. And I'm sure that's one reason that the National MS Society is conducting a survey right now to assess the economic impact that MS has on patients and their families. The survey is completely confidential, and the survey results will fuel the MS Society's advocacy efforts in working with our legislators to improve the lives of people affected by MS in the United States. It's an online survey. It will take about a half hour for you to complete, and to make sure you can easily answer the survey questions, it's going to be helpful if you first gather up your medical bills, your insurance statements, and your tax returns. This is where advocacy begins, by gathering data from those who are directly impacted by public policy. So you can help the MS Society help you by completing this survey, and it's only going to be available through September 24th. So please make this survey a priority over the next day or two. If you'd like to review the details of the financial toxicity study from Emory University, you'll find a link in today's show notes, and you'll also find a link for you to take the National MS Society survey on the economic impact of MS. When it comes to the conversation about ensuring access to prescription medications, another aspect of access is actually receiving those medications when you're supposed to. If you routinely pick up your disease-modifying therapies, that's something you can control. But if you're like thousands of people living with MS and you receive your disease-modifying therapies through the mail, then you rely on the Postal Service to deliver your prescription medications in a timely manner. And lately, that's become far less of a sure thing. A Senate committee reported the results of a survey of five major pharmacies and pharmacy benefit managers that provide mail order service. And four out of five of the pharmacies reported delivery delays. And the Veterans Administration, which delivers 90% of all of its prescription medications by mail, has also reported delays in delivery. Barbara Cotton is one of the 73,000 U.S. veterans living with MS, and Barbara receives her disease-modifying therapy by mail. Barbara has written an op-ed piece for Business Insider where she explains the health risks she faces if her medication is delivered late, like it was in July. If you'd like to read Barbara Cotton's op-ed, you'll find the link in today's show notes. There's a significant amount of research demonstrating that people living with MS who make healthy lifestyle choices enjoy a better overall quality of life. And now an Australian research team from the University of Melbourne and the University of Tasmania has published the results of a study based on the survey results from 952 MS patients over the course of 5 years that shows that those patients who interacted with sources of health information were more likely to adopt a healthy lifestyle. The research team looked at whether or how frequently these 952 MS patients interacted with three different sources of health information: the number of visits to the website of the Overcoming Multiple Sclerosis Initiative, familiarity with the initiative's book, and participation in the initiative's workshops. The team's analysis showed that those MS patients who engaged with these materials were slightly more likely to consume omega-3 and vitamin D supplements, far less likely to consume dairy products, and more than twice as likely to engage in frequent physical activity compared to those patients who didn't engage with the same materials. Those patients who engaged with the online materials also tended to have higher levels of education and were less likely to have severe disability, significant fatigue, or face obesity. Now, I'm not so sure that you have to limit yourself to the same three sources of online health information, but I hope the results of this study might motivate some of you to engage with high-quality health information from credible sources and make those same healthy lifestyle choices that lead to a higher quality of life. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. For millions of people around the world, maintaining a high quality of life during the COVID-19 pandemic has been particularly challenging. A research team that happened to be in the midst of a different study saw the opportunity to measure the emotional impact of COVID-19 on people living with progressive MS. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Dr. Anthony Feinstein, and we'll discuss the results of their study. It's understandable that people living with pre-existing chronic illness have shown increased anxiety and depression during the COVID-19 pandemic, and you might assume that would include people living with progressive MS. So a research team whose progressive MS study was paused due to the pandemic, they decided to pivot quickly and conduct a survey about the pandemic's emotional impact and the quality of life among people living with progressive MS. The team has published the results of their work, and joining me is Dr. Anthony Feinstein, the principal investigator of the COGX study. Dr. Feinstein is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto and a neuropsychiatrist. His research and clinical work focuses on people with multiple sclerosis, traumatic brain injury, and conversion disorder. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Feinstein.
Thank you.
I think the way you arrived at the point of conducting this survey is interesting. So maybe we should start our conversation by explaining what the COGX study is all about.
Yeah, so this is a large international collaborative study funded by the MS Society of Canada, looking at whether exercise combined with cognitive rehabilitation can bring about cognitive improvement in people with progressive MS. That's important because the rates of cognitive decline in people with progressive MS are very high, perhaps as high as 70 to 80%. And we know that impaired cognition can have a negative effect on people's ability to function in day-to-day life, hold down a job, manage relationships, and complete activities of daily living. So if we're able to show that a therapy can improve cognition, then this could have very real benefits on a person's quality of life. So to make the study happen, we have 11 centers worldwide in Italy, United States, Canada, England, Denmark, and Belgium. And we're enrolling a large sample of individuals who have either primary or secondary MS. They get assigned to the treatment group that contains exercise and cognitive rehabilitation, and we have a number of control groups as well. It's a fairly demanding intervention for people with MS. It entails 12 weeks of therapy, coming into hospital twice a week. We pay all transport costs. And the study was well underway when the pandemic hit. And given the dangers of the COVID-19 virus, all research related to COGX was shut down. So all 11 centers had to suspend recruitment. And we also had to suspend treatment for patients who were mid-therapy. Obviously, this was very disappointing. But rather than, you know, sit around waiting for things to improve, we found out that we had a unique opportunity to determine or to look at how the pandemic was affecting the lives of people with progressive MS. And we actually had longitudinal data to do it. We had baseline data collected before the pandemic started. And then by, you know, resurveying people during the pandemic, we could actually see whether things had changed as a result of the pandemic. So we did this, and the response rate was very good. Almost over 90% of our participants, you know, answered all the questions. We looked at things like anxiety, depression, quality of life, and we showed that for people with progressive MS, not much had changed. They were not more anxious nor depressed during the pandemic, and the quality of life had not deteriorated. And that was intriguing and obviously good news on one level. And in trying to understand why this had come about, we think it relates to the fact that people with progressive MS were already leading lives that were quite truncated, that because of their physical disability, they many had stopped working, they were not getting out and about, many were, you know, to a degree housebound, and they had learned to adapt to their disability. And so with the onset of the pandemic, not a whole lot changed in the world. It might have gotten a little slower and a little quieter, but relative to people who had been more active, in essence, life just carried on with its same rhythm. And we think that's one possible explanation for why these data didn't show a deterioration.
Well, to your point, I've heard some folks say that people living with MS already had plenty of experience living with unpredictability before the COVID-19 pandemic. And living with the challenges that can accompany progressive MS, I think, almost requires that you learn to adapt, as you say, and build resilience.
Yeah. I think that's our explanation. What's interesting is that the individuals whose therapy was interrupted by the pandemic were really disappointed by that because they found it very helpful to come into hospital twice a week and get rehabilitation. And so, you know, we have the challenge of, now that the study has restarted, going back to this group and reintegrating them back into the study. So on one level, they were very disappointed at, you know, not being able to continue with their rehab, but that didn't translate into a deterioration in terms of their emotions or their quality of life. And so, yes, I think this is a group that is relatively resilient.
Well, Dr. Anthony Feinstein, I appreciate the decision, the choice you and your team made to pivot and provide some evidence-based insight into how people with progressive MS are emotionally responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm looking forward to talking with you again in the future once your initial study is finally out with results that are published. But again, thanks for taking the time to talk with me today about the results of the COVID Impact Survey.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/160. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. I don't think I have to tell anyone listening to this podcast that the COVID-19 pandemic has intensified, and in some cases multiplied, the challenges of living with MS. More than ever before, people living with MS need access to reliable information, support, and connection. We're witnessing that even during a pandemic, MS doesn't stop, and neither does the National MS Society. With vital funding from supporters like you, the National MS Society is continuing to meet the urgent and expanding needs of the MS community during these unprecedented times, while ensuring that the MS research community rebounds quickly from COVID-19 so that the progress and momentum toward finding a cure continues. And that's why I hope that, as you're able, you'll make a donation to the Society's COVID-19 Response Fund. It couldn't be easier. Just text the word GIVE to 68686, and you'll get a link right to the MS Society's COVID-19 Response Fund webpage. I hope you'll consider contributing today, because it's never been more important. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.